Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle. Because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider. And also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Hi, everyone. I'm Joanna, and this is Hyphenated, the podcast about living in the hyphen. This week's episode, I had the pleasure of speaking to my friend X Mayo. She is an incredible actor, writer, performer. She's been on The Daily Show. She currently is on NBC's American Auto. She's literally all over the place. She's killing it. I would have loved to have recorded an intro with her, but to be honest, we started recording and we immediately started catching up and forgot it was a podcast. She's just one of the funniest people I've ever met in my life. And in this episode, we talk about her, you know, career trajectory and trauma and all that. But to be totally honest, we mostly just made each other laugh. And by each other, I mean that she made me laugh. Her stories are the most mind-blowingly hilarious things you've ever heard, from her working as a TSA agent to her dad's abandonment. All of these stories are just riddled with hilarity. So without further ado, my conversation with X Mayo.
That's like I've been drinking my matcha.
Last time I saw you, you had a jug of water the size of like a toddler. And there it is. There it is.
And I've been stopping because I'm like, I'm going to have to pee every 2 minutes. This is not going to be called the pee pee podcast because I'm going to keep going and fucking peeing. So I was like, let me hold off on the hydration until I talk to Joanna.
You know, you're so talented. You have so many talents. And I think one of your talents is hydration. You're incredibly Truly. Good at holding canisters of liquid and ingesting them at a timely manner.
Yes.
X, yes. When the producer of the podcast was like, oh, yeah, we have the opportunity to interview X Mayo. I was like, yeah, she's like, I feel like. Like, that's not even a question. I got an hour to talk to my friend.
Yeah.
Because, like, you know, I think me and you, maybe we didn't know each other too well when we were both, like, trying to make it in New York. But I knew of your work. Like, I knew of the shows that you were doing in New York. I knew that, like, you were just this powerhouse, not only for yourself, but of putting other people forward and helping other people. You produced a live show called Who Made the Potato Salad? Mm-hmm. And it brought all of these comedians of color in one place and at a time where, I mean, there was a lot of conversations about, like, you know, a lot of these comedy theaters are having trouble with diversity. And then you came out and it was like, all right, like... Here's me and here's a bunch of funny people.
Well, because I think that's bullshit. I just think people are fucking lazy. Like, are you kidding me? Like, there's black people in funny ass POCs every fucking where you turn, especially in New York, where it's literally designed for you to be on top of each other. Like, literally execs could find a comedian, honestly, sitting on top of them in a train. Like, they're literally right fucking there. So I can understand if you're in like California or Nebraska, I believe that's still a state. And if you go there, you know, it's like so far out, but it's like in fucking New York, where literally a rat can be like, yeah, I know where some stand-up comedy is happening this weekend. Like, are you fucking kidding me? So that's what was crazy to me, because being from LA and then moving to New York, I'm like, the process to find motherfuckers is so much easier. Why are we not in these clubs? But I come from a mother and a background that is very adamant about presenting solutions to problems and not more problems. So I don't need for no one to put me on. It was like, okay, cool. This is what the fuck y'all doing. Well, let me figure out the structure. And then once I did the UCB Diversity Scholarship and I was immersed into the whole program, I was like, oh, this is why our numbers are so low with diversity, because from the gate, we're not supported and we don't see ourselves in these teachers or in these classrooms. So in order to finish the program, to be eligible, to audition, to be on a fucking house team where you really get the benefits of being at UCB, we're not even finishing the program. So I was like, okay, but what if we knew that there was some other Black people or other POCs that were trying and we're in the trenches with them? So that's when I started the POC Comedy Google Group. It started out with just me going to every fucking theater from UCB to Magnet to the Pit to Annoyance and being like, whatever, every time I saw a Black person, I was like, what's your fucking name? What's your email? And then from that list, everybody could pitch other people to add to the list. And then it grew to over 400. And what I was doing was I was going to the teachers at UCB asking them to donate their time, because the UCB Diversity Scholarship is only administered to 35 people in five categories: LGBTQ, Black, queer, people over 40, and disabled. So out of those five, how many Black people are, like, you know, like, are getting these fucking scholarships? So I wanted people to be able to continue the program, and we needed shit for free. That's just it. We live in fucking New York where chips are $7. You know, like, it's just, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Ridiculous. Air. You're greeted air in the morning by a whole entourage of rats, and it's like fucking, it's snowing to your knees, and you're just like, yeah, this is what it is. So yeah, I have a problem that when I see something in my head, it has to come to fruition, like, and I won't stop until it does, because I just know how precious time is. So yeah, so that's how that happened. And then Potato Salad was birthed in 2017. For that same reason too, I just was like, I want to do stuff with my people, period.
You know, I knew of you because of your show. And then one day I was, you know, improvising for a Spanish language improv team. And you were one of the people that came to do a monologue.
Yes.
I didn't know you were Latina.
Uh-huh.
I was so embarrassed. I was like, oh my God, all this time.
No, don't be. Girl, everybody thought I was Dominican. Yeah. Girl, in LA, it's based on location. When I'm in LA, everybody know I'm Black and Mexican. Like, that's just what it is. Like, I made friends with the dude at Fat Burger. His mama's Mexican, his pops is Black. Like, it's so common. My aunts all have Black husbands, Black fathers of their children, same with my tios. And so it's so common. But in New York, they were like, mama, tú eres Dominicana. I'm like, no, I'm Mexican. They were like, what? It depends on just the location of where you are. So please don't feel bad. That totally makes sense to me. Also, too, like, I was raised so heavily in and around Black culture, like, it's like not my second nature to like even speak Spanish. You feel me? So I don't hold that against you. That makes sense to me.
So one of your parents is Mexican. One of your parents is Black.
Yeah. My mom's Mexican. My dad is Black.
Cause I remember in the monologue that you were giving us, you mentioned your upbringing, you mentioned being Mexican, and I'm going to be honest with you. I've literally never met an Afro Mexican before. I just hadn't.
Mm-hmm.
And you were like, truly, it's a
based
rare...
on location, because where are you from, John?
Venezuela.
Yeah. So you were there. And then you came to New York, where literally the only Mexicans I found and the only quality tacos, and I don't give a fuck what nobody in New York say, was in East Elmhurst. I had to take the fucking 7 train, the purple train above ground to 103rd. Like, we're just not there. So, yeah. And there are actual Black Mexicans that are indigenous to Mexico, but because racism is everywhere, they didn't start even dotting them in their census and that they were actually members of the population until like a year or 2 years ago.
I mean,
yeah. Racism. I mean, that little bitch, she's just fucking, she's a whore. Racism is a whore. It's fucking everywhere, little bitch.
It's you know, racism is a whore, but you know, she's not particularly giving. You know, at least whores are giving.
No. Yeah. Truly, yes.
She's there to take, you know?
Yeah.
So I remember in this monologue that you gave in the show that I was improvising, you told this story that I think blew my mind. Because I didn't know you worked as a TSA agent.
Yes. Oh my God. For a little over 2 years.
Because you said that, like, that was the craziest job you had had.
Kind of, yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, when you're dealing with bombs and shit, yeah. Yeah. I guess it would be, yeah.
And what was the craziest thing that happened to you as a TSA agent?
Okay. What monologue did I tell? I didn't tell my TSA monologue, right? Because I don't want to tell the same story.
I don't think you did.
For listeners out there, when you were hustling in New York doing comedy and improv and sketch, I literally would do sometimes two shows a night, 6 days a week. I remember that set. I remember that I did that show, but I have no idea what I said.
All I remember truly is like, oh my God, she worked as a TSA agent, and oh my God, she's so funny. Like, you were, you, oh, I don't remember you. The details. All I remember was like, this woman has done everything. Like, oh
no,
my God.
I had every job, Joanna. That's why when you say craziest, I'm like, well, you know, I was working at a place that I have no idea if it was even a real place. It's like, I didn't even get like tax return info for it. And when I called the IRS, they were like, girl, I got shit down. We even think about you. You make no money, girl. Get off my phone. Like, because I was trying to be like an honest law-abiding citizen. And I worked at so many like call centers and shit. You, girl, you be surprised. But I would say at TSA, I've told the story before about it was my last fucking day, okay? I was quitting, Joanna. I was like, you know what? We are fucking going at acting full throttle. Because I had quit acting because of, obviously, the rejection, which is so fun. And I was being rejected since I was auditioning as an adolescent. And then I got to my early 20s. I was like, fuck this shit. So then I was like, no, I'm going to go back. I'm going to do it right. So last day, quitting. This is my last day of work. I see this bitch coming through, and they train us so well on just even body language, right? And so from her body language, I was like, this bitch got something.
Oh my God, are you serious? Wait, X, can you look at someone and say like, oh, there's something shady here? Are you serious?
Oh yeah, to this day. To this day, it never leaves you. I mean, I went through 8 months of training. There are people, you know, I don't think I'm privy because I signed a bunch of shit. I didn't read it because I was stupid, but I signed a bunch of shit. So I don't think I could tell you the name, but there are people who look like me and you that are not dressed, that are walking around the airport, that are just looking at body language.
Oh my God, that makes me so anxious. Now I'm going to try and act so cool in that. I'm just going to be walking really chill in the airport.
But see, Joanna, and then that's when they go, this is terrorist-like activity. Get this, it's a cold 10. Get this bitch. If you come in switching them shoulders like that, I'm like, she's got a condition or she's got a bomb. What is it? Maybe she's a dancer. Maybe she's the Unabomber.
A terrorist.
I don't know.
One of those two options.
So when I was watching this bitch, daughter, I was like, okay, so she has got some shit. I already knew. So I was pissed because I'm like, it's my fucking last day. And I'm like, send her in. So when they sent her in, she had on this like long flowy dress or whatever, right? And also it was already suspect because she's going to Miami. Certain places are hot spots for, you know, like drug trade. And they use like, she was very pretty, very attractive. They use like bad bitches like that as like decoys. So when she came through, when I like swipe her down, you know, when I do the check, when this was in 2010, so way before, you know, they had that whatever goddamn machines they have that you go and you put your hands up like a damn
it looks like you're
mannequin.
Going into like an alien UFO. It's like,
yeah, true.
The scanner. Yeah,
right. It was before then, so we was scanners. Right. So I went and then they teach us, you know, when you do pat downs, I have the right to, you know, just graze your sensitive area, AKA your pussy. So when I was like doing that, I felt something. I said, oh shit, this bitch got something. And they teach us that when you find something, grab it. Okay.
No.
You hold it. You gotta hold it, cause Joanna, it could be a bomb, and I know how to disarm that shit in 0.5 seconds, okay?
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because... I got the charcoal mask. Great, because why would I put that on my face when I could drop it in my sink? This is what I get for multitasking. Ugh, why is charcoal so sticky?
Hello?
Hey, Janice. I am so sorry. I thought I was on mute. No, we don't need to reschedule. I'll just stay off camera. Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed.
You know how to disarm a bomb?
Low key. I never really had to do it, but they was like, hey, if it's like this, this is where you find the detonator. It's usually here. You can do this, you can do that. Girl, you know why we came, okay? We don't need to talk about that date, okay?
No, but I also want you, I want to travel with you only because I know I'd survive.
Truly. So when I did it, I held it right on the couch and I held it and I said, Miss, what is this? Mind you, I was so done because it's my last day and I know you didn't bring no shit in here on my last day. Yeah. I felt it was personal because I'm quitting, right? Mm-hmm. So I hold it and she was like, oh, it's just a tampon. I said, I need to see it.
Wait, it's just a tampon on the outside? Yeah.
First of all, bitch, I ain't never seen it. This is a XX, girl. How much are you bleeding? You are bleeding. I mean, gallons of blood.
You need to go to the ER.
Yeah. Truly. Or, bitch, you don't know how to put on a fucking tampon. It's supposed to go up your pussy, not touch it. Like, what are you doing? So, and she was like, she looked at me like, what? I was like, yes, miss. I was like, I need to see it. And she was like, oh, no. And I was like, well, you're exhibiting terrorist-like activity, so please don't touch your bags. And so then as we're walking over, she was just like, okay, it's weed. And I said, okay, well, let me see it. So then we go in a room with a private room with another female officer. She pulls out her panties and then she like pops out an old school fucking camera case. You know, like when we used to have camera, like with the like Kodak.
It was up
for pussy. Mm-hmm. Well, not up because I felt it. So she really doesn't know the power of it. Bitch, it could go all the way up there. I would have never known. And so she pops it out, boo, and it has a picture. No cap. It has the picture of fucking Steve Urkel with his thumbs up that says, "Did I do that?
No,
I can't make this shit up.
No, you cannot.
Can't make this shit up." So she's freaking out. I'm like, and so I'm thinking this ain't real. I'm thinking that because oftentimes Department of Homeland Security would do tests randomly. So I'm thinking that this is not real. So I go up to our manager. I'm like, okay, Moises. All right. On my last fucking day, you got me. Okay. Who is this bitch? She said from headquarters. Like, no, you actually caught something. You caught her. And I had to fill out hours of fucking paperwork for this bitch. I was so pissed. And then airport police came, and airport police, mind you, they don't do a fucking thing. They are, oh my God, they're the scum. They literally are retired officers who work at the airport and get paid nearly six figures just to sit there. And then when some shit go down, that then they really come. But they're all very like disgusting and just look at ass and titties all day. And so they were so excited to like fucking like
do something.
And it was like, a dime sack of weed. And I was like, I'm really mad at you because if you have a medicinal card and you would just put this in a fucking plastic bag, I would have saw this shit, checked your car. You could have been on your fucking merry way. This is goddamn LA. Shit been legal before it was legal. Okay. Yeah. Like, don't nobody give a fuck. So yeah, that was my last day. I would say that was one of the craziest days of working at TSA. But you know what was consistently crazy though, Joanna? When I was working at Terminal 1 Southwest, oh my God, baby, just ratchet fucking city. The people that come through Southwest versus American Airlines and Delta 1, night and day.
Really?
Yes, when I would work OT at Southwest, nothing but prostitutes. Now, mind you, I support sex work, definitely should be unionized, because if you suck and dick that much, you need to be able to go to the dentist, period. I just don't give a fuck. Like, I just, it's fucked up. It's work.
It is, I agree. Give these people, like, healthcare, absolutely.
Yeah. So, but my thing was, they would just be funny. They are funny. So one girl came through, and I knew she was a sex worker because she would just have her little ta-da-ta-da-ns and, like, her little,
I'm sorry, can you translate ta-da-ta-da-ns?
Oh! In LA, we say that like da-da-da-da. So she got like Daisy Duke shorts on, like her little da-da-da-da. Like she just got her little, basically jean panties. Okay.
Oh, I know those. They scare me.
Yeah, truly. I'm like, to me, that screams yeast infection. Yeah. Like I just can't. I feel like, oh my God, like I'm going to like grow bread out of my pussy. Like I can't put that shit in me.
You're it's killing me. Yeast. I'm seriously going to die.
Yes. So then Joanna, she has like this, like, the, you know, like Selena, the Booster de la Caca, she had that on.
Yeah.
And also like she's traveling and she just has like this little duffel bag. And when it comes through, I mean, it is just penis cream, anus, it's just lube, dildos, all of that.
I mean, she's coming prepared. She's coming. She's a prepared worker.
I know, but baby, this lube is too big.
Oh, because
I support you. Mm. So I would hook them up though, because I ain't trying to fuck up her money. Mm-hmm. And so she would just come. They would just come through all the time. And when it was too big, I'm like, sis, I'm not gonna fuck up your bag. Let me test it for explosives, and then I'll let you take it. She like, I was always nice. I always, at every job, Joanna, mm-hmm. truly, I was like fucking Robin Hood. Like, I would take mm-hmm. from the rich to give to the poor. If when I worked at the Grove at the movie theater, if you came to my line on the snacks mm-hmm. and you came there to my counter and you was on a date, I'm giving you supersize everything. Mm-hmm. I'm giving you extra. If you was a kid, I'm giving you two candies. I'll give a fuck. Because I know this shit's about to expire, or like you're on a date, like who gives a fuck? Like I don't give, like people who I knew care too much about those jobs, because I worked at Starbucks, I worked at Old Navy, I was a nanny, I was a janitor, I've done everything. Mm-hmm. People that care so much about that shit, or like when I was working at Starbucks, people would like we would be turning the whole store over from Halloween to fucking Thanksgiving, so we have all these extra cups. And we could ship them out, or they're like, you could take some home. I would give some to some of my favorite customers. We'd be like, why are you giving it to them? And I'm like, why don't you have any friends? You need to get a fucking life.
I think what I've always been so entranced by you is you've done a lot in your short life. And, mm-hmm. you know, you worked really hard to make it to where you've made it. I mean, you've worked every job you've done so much, but every crazy story you tell me is the funniest fucking thing I've ever heard in my entire life.
Oh, Joanna, you're so sweet.
It really is a testament to how like sad or traumatic or ridiculous mm-hmm. or bizarre things that happen to you, like that mm-hmm. feeds your comedy, and you're just naturally programmed to tell stories from your ridiculous past, but make them hilarious.
Yeah, I mean, I have to, because some shit is so ridiculous. Like, I remember when I finally found the comedy and the trauma of my father not being there. Mm-hmm. And there's this one story that I told my homegirl, and I guess, and this was before I pursued comedy. Like, I've always been a nut, always class clown. But I would never forget this day. So, okay, so my birth father, terrible human being. Mm-hmm. But there were moments when he actually was in my life. He would pop in and out or whatever, right? So I would never fucking forget this shit. I was like, this motherfucker is the worst goddamn person in the world. We went to go see The Grinch Stole Christmas. I was about a cute 11, 12. Super hyped. Finally going to spend time with my pops. Like, let's go, right? Mm-hmm. I love nachos. And I was like, got my nachos, got my icy. Now, mind you, like, that's like fucking lobster and steak to 12-year-olds. Like,
absolutely.
You got your Sour Patch Kids, your nachos, your icy, two flavors, okay? Give me my Coke and my red because I'm grown, right? Yeah. So I had that. I go to the restroom, Joanna. I go to the restroom. I come back. This motherfucker ate all my nachos.
Absolutely.
And I
not.
Said, here's the thing. Here's the kicker. I said, Dad, I was like, why did you eat my nachos? He was like, well, you went to the restroom. I said, did you think I wasn't going to come back? Like, I remember telling him that shit. And it's the most fucked. Like, who the fuck eats a child's nachos? He was like, because you went to the restroom. Is that an exit, nigga? Like, what?
I mean, for him, maybe it was. For him, he probably used that excuse to leave you.
Truly, that's what happened. Like, my mama went to the restroom. He fucked another bitch. Like, he's just like, when you went to the restroom, I was just like, what the fuck? Like, it was crazy to me. I was just kind of like, how his reasoning, the logic, it was just like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
That's the moment you were like, oh my God, me and you don't think alike.
Yeah.
You thought going to the bathroom was me peacing out forever.
Yeah, because that's what the fuck he did. He just ate shit. And you know what's crazy? As a kid, certain things like you never forget, like certain like ways I realized that he did not know me and he was not. Like, I know your title says dad, and my mom says that you're my dad, and I know that you're my dad, but, like, there's just a disconnect. And I remember when, because I fucking hate condiments. Joanna, I did not fuck with condiments.
I was not expecting you to finish that sentence with condiments. It's like, I fucking hate abandonment. I was like, okay, yeah, me too. It's like, I fucking hate condiments.
No, seriously. Mayonnaise, it makes me gag, like, the sight of it. I have some friends who are really, really sweet, and you do not have to do this, like, people like, it is my shit. You do not have to do this. But some of my friends are really kind, and they will, like, if they put ketchup on their fries or like on a side and they're dipping, they'll turn the plate to where I can't see it or like smell like the side of it. Like it does. It's like a texture, and like I literally get like the side of mayonnaise makes me throw up. Like I cannot.
Wait. X, the sight of mayonnaise makes you throw up, and I know your name doesn't come from mayonnaise, obviously, but do people accidentally call you X Mayo as in mayonnaise?
Yeah. Of course, all the time.
And then, but you must hate that. You must hate that more than anything.
No, I don't, because sometimes it's just like, it's too much. That's why, you know, I go by X as my first name, and I'm starting to like reconcile with that, like how I've like just, you know, code switched and adapted or adjusted myself to fit the white gaze, because I'm so annoyed when somebody who is not of, you know, Latin descent or just somebody that's just like, and they'll fuck up your name, mm-hmm. and it's X is so much easier. And then like so many white people love to tell me as soon as I tell them my name, like that they've been to Xochimilco, or they're like, they love to tell me like how they're gonna adopt a little Mexican baby. Like it's always a fucking conversation. They're like, yeah, I'm going down there to pick up some Mexican babies. Like, it's just like, I can't fucking with this shit. So I'm renegotiating, like using my actual full name.
Which is Sochi?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
And so I'm just like, because I do love my name. I think my name is the shit. I love my name. I love how unique it is.
I was going to do the white person thing and say, oh, I've been to Xochimilco.
It's different for you. It's different for you. Like you're literally Latina. Like I'm talking about, you know, Molly from Toledo, Ohio. So yeah. So when they say mayo, I'm like, listen, that's the least of my worries. Like I get that, you know, like it's just mayo, mayo, tomato.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because... I like the charcoal mask. Great, because why would I put that on my face when I could drop it in my sink? This is what I get for multitasking. Ugh, why is charcoal so sticky?
Hello?
Hey, Janice. I am so sorry. I thought I was on mute. No, we don't need to reschedule. I'll just stay off camera. Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed.
So I was saying that thing about the condiments, because my dad had came to summer school. Like we do have what's called vacation Bible school. Like if you grow up in church, specifically in Black church, like summertime vacation Bible school is like the time where school ends. And then like you can start like summer camp after that.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was so fucking geeked, Joanna, because I was like, he is going to bring me Burger King. And you know, when you get fucking Burger King, fucking 10 years old, I'm hitting with the flex, like fuck your Lunchables.
You're
period.
Royal.
I'm Burger King. Everyone needs to bow down. I got fucking Burger King bitch.
Yes,
and I'm like,
yes.
I'm killing you hoes. Like, what? I got Burger King.
Goodbye, peasants.
He brings me Burger King, Joanna. He brought it with mayonnaise and ketchup. I opened that shit and like gagged in my head. I was like, this motherfucker don't know me. Mm-hmm. But I said, I closed it and I looked at him and I said, I don't eat mayonnaise and ketchup. And he was like, well, you could just wipe it off. I said, no. And that's how I knew. Cause like my mama knows any and everything about me. Like she knows that I like the cheese, not on the bread. I like it directly on the patty, and like, give me aguacate immediately. And like, so my mom like did her best, and she always encouraged a relationship with my dad, but it's only so many times I'm gonna sit on that fucking porch and your ass supposed to come on a Friday night and then you don't come. You feel me? Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of comedy that I've experienced that now I see it through a comedic lens, a lot of trauma that I'm able to deal with and laugh about, and not laugh about it in like in a passive aggressive way, but just like, listen, life is fucking hard. If I don't laugh through this shit, now mind you, I'm a therapist. I deal with my shit. If I don't laugh through this shit, Joanna, I'll fucking jump off a goddamn bridge.
No one wants that. No one wants that.
No, truly. Because I'd probably land. land and be like, fuck, let's go back. Guys, let's do it again. Everybody gather around. I feel like if I tried to jump off a bridge and die, that's what would happen. I would land and God would be like, go back. Like,
you gotta,
I'm such an idiot.
What's the name of that like Greek story of the guy that keeps pushing Sisyphus, or that keeps pushing the rock up? Oh, that's just you trying to jump off a building.
I'm gonna take
over
your word for it. I'm not. I do not do any college. I am not a college graduate.
Well, you're
I'm
brilliant.
So sorry.
You're brilliant, and like you're so open with trauma and all of these, you know, complex feelings. And I'm curious because right now you're an actor in American Auto, and I think you're hilarious in it, by the way. And I'm not just saying that. I've watched a few episodes and you are so funny, X. Like, it feels like a real person. And I'm curious, like, do you bring yourself to that character? Like, what of you do you bring to that character?
Yeah, I think I bring some mannerisms to the character. Dory is definitely far more aloof. Like, I'm so efficient. I would have quit episode one.
Like, I was going to say,
this bitch don't know what the fuck she's doing.
Yeah,
I would have went and started my own dead company.
Fuck. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Fuck. What the fuck is this car? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It just would have been, it would have been bad. I'd be like, oh, bitch, we got to go. But like, Dory really is sometimes aloof. Sometimes she talks out of turn. You know, like, sometimes she really like means well. I love an episode two, I believe, when they're like, with some good news, and I'm like, you know, my grandma, you know, she just died, you know. It's just like, but she died, but she made it to her 95th birthday, so guys, good. This is like, Dory, this is not helpful. Like, she, in her mind, she thinks she's being helpful, but she's really not. But yeah, I definitely bring mannerisms to Dory that are really come from me and really come from a personal place. And I think too, the fact that like Dory is resourceful, that's something that's very much so within me as well. Like, she's gonna help figure it out. She's there for the team. Like, what, go team, what the fuck do we need to get shit popping?
Which you've done ever since the beginning of life, and then in New York with the shows and everything I've seen you do. It's funny because I think the first time we ever worked together was on a set where you were like just working at an office, and I got flashbacks, because the first time I ever saw you in my life, you were sitting at an office, like picking up phones and stuff. And I'm like, oh my God, she's in an office. That's great. And then I remembered that scene that we did together. It was just me consecutively falling on the floor and you being like, what the fuck happened to this bitch or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I had this flashback of like, oh my God, I've been on set with her. And I remember how funny you were. And I remember how every time we took that take, you would say something funnier and you were adding to the scene. And as I was watching you on screen, I could just tell that you were bringing so much flavor to everything you were saying. And even when you weren't saying anything and the camera was on you, you were funny.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I think that's a testament to our directors. And also, I say this in every interview, like, I really appreciate our writers, because if the script is not strong, I don't really know where to go, because the script is the foundation. Like, I always say, the script is the house, the improv is the pool table. Like, you can't do shit with just a pool table. You need a fucking foundation, a house, a bathroom, a door, a kitchen, a bedroom, you know? And so my stuff is just a little cherry on top. Like, they work extremely fucking hard and did an amazing job. And I pray that we get to do it for, you know, 8 more fucking seasons. But like, I think I improvise, I play so much in my audition. To any actors listening out there, I think what's been my go-to, what has helped, and I think even when I haven't booked stuff, I've gotten really close, I've gotten pinned, or they end up booking me for not this TV show, but for a movie, was that I treat every audition like the fourth take. And if you're not an actor, it's like you do the take maybe 1, 2, 3 times and you do it like verbatim as it is. And they always say, some directors like, let's do a fun run, or let's do it like X, just do your thing. I treat every self-tape and audition like they said, X, do your thing, because you're gonna get the takes of me just saying the thing. But if you wanted a fucking robot, that's who you would hire. You're gonna hire me because of what I can bring to it. So no, I'm not gonna change the entire script, but I'm gonna play, I'm gonna be dropped in, I'm gonna do my thing. So that's what I've done that's helped me. And because you're an actor, I know you have some artists listening. So hopefully that will be helpful to another person listening.
It's helpful to me. I struggle so much with auditions. I've literally never booked anything because of an audition other than like voiceover work. And I think it's because of what you just said. I don't have fun with them. And how we have fun with life and how we have fun with trauma and how we have fun with all of these things. Like, how could we not have fun with an audition, for God's sake?
Joanna, cut it up. And also too, like, sometimes because like you're a comedian and a writer too, like we have a fucking third eye, we see the joke. I've done like really drama heavy shit, and just one line, not the whole thing, but just one line, I'm gonna add a joke at the end, you know? Like, I don't give a fuck, bitch. Even in Saving Private Ryan, there was one moment where you laughed. Like, I don't give a fuck. Yeah. Like, comedy in anything that you see, like, there's gonna be some moments or like some type of comedic moments in that. So just find that. Don't force it. If you don't see it at all, then if it's not, you know, genuine and true mm-hmm. for you, then don't. But I would suggest that, like, Joanna, treat every fucking self-tape, every audition like it's the fourth take, because they want you. Like, there's never been a gig that I've booked that they haven't been like, X, we love what you did. You just did your thing. Like, and I always have a prop that's kind of like my, like mm-hmm. my little trick. Like, I don't, if I'm at a club, I got a glass of wine. Like, when I did an audition for a movie that I just wrapped last year, and she saw these specific potato chips and she was eating them, I had my reader, my homeboy, he held the chips. I grabbed the chips and I was eating them through the scene. Like, it gives it more life. Like, it helps it to be more real. Like, do an activity, have an object too. That's kind of like my little trick as well.
Also, if you're going through an airport and trying to not, you know, get the attention of a TSA agent, have a prop so that you look more natural.
Yes, please come in like just with clown shoes. Oh my God, we would never look. We'd be like, oh my God, such a law-abiding citizen. We gotta let you first. Yeah.
So X, before we log off this absolute joy of an interview, can you describe American Auto in your words and tell the audience where they can watch?
So American Auto... Wait.
In your words, breathe. fourth take, X.
Okay, because the publicist, I don't want the people, I can't lose my fucking job, Joanna. Wait, no, because they tell us how to say it, goddamn it.
Okay, but I want you to put your X spin on it.
Okay, wait, I don't see it.
What was the name of the shorts?
Oh, Taran Taran.
Yes, I want you to add Taran Taran to the description of the show.
Oh my God, I need to put that in my bio. X, da-da-da-da.
Yeah.
Period. Okay, so I would say that America, I can't find it. So I'm going to take my fucking shot and I pray that Mr. N, Mrs. B, and Mr. C do not get upset with me. I would say that American Auto is an ensemble cast comedy about a group of workers at Payne Motors who really try their best and continuously fail. I would say they really try their best to continuously fail. I would say it's like it tugs at your heartstrings when it should, and it makes you fucking laugh when you should as well. And I will also say that it is seven very distinct characters that you will all love. There's somebody for everybody. It's witty, it's funny, it's sarcastic. And I would say too, like, it's something that's fresh in the workplace comedy space, and it's made by Justin Spitzy. Like, fucking come on, he came from The Office, he created mm-hmm. Superstore. Like, he makes nothing but the hits. So I'm very blessed to just be on this platform with him and our producer Aaron Kaplan, who has, like, no lie, 900 television shows. Like, he knows what he's doing. So the cast that we have is like all top tier, as well as the crew, our executive producer, Jeff Blitz, who I will follow to the ends of the earth, the kindest human being. And they all worked really well with me. Like, the cast is so kind, like, everyone is so great. I'm just like, please make an investment and watch one of the best workplace comedies. It's gonna be your new favorite workplace comedy, American Auto, every Tuesday at 8 p.m. on NBC. And the next day on the P and the Cock, hello. oh my God, I hope I don't get fired for that.
Oh my God, this was an Emmy acceptance speech, and also you forgot to add da-dun, da-dun, so
yes.
There we go. X, thank you so much. You are an absolute joy, and I'd love to see you when I'm in LA.
Oh yes, please, come on. We'll get green juice, Runyon Canyon, we'll do the whole LA thing.
Oh God, hiking and green juices? Let's get a beer and have some tacos. Yeah.
I was gonna say, we'll get tacos. We'll go to my mom. She'll make enchiladas and we'll have cheese.
I love this. I love that plan way more.
Yeah. For sure.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because...
Hey, listen. Remember how you told me to toss those takeout containers before we left for vacation? And you were like, I'm serious. If that leaks over the counter, it'll be a slimy abomination by the time I get back. And I was like, yeah, of course. Don't worry about it. I won't forget. Well...
Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed. Rinse after use if in contact with food surface.